KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus star?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 182, recorded on a special night, December 19th, 2015. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is an ensemble cast of both of the casts that we have. I'm going to start on my screen from left to right and introduce everyone. Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
Tobias, Dr. Arkville.
Hello, everyone.
Ronnie Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Hello.
TFYLP co-founder, Insane Galvatron, Greg Metcalf.
Hello, everybody.
From the future in Australia, Hang Yip Chan.
Out back and I say hello.
G'day, mate. Hope I said that right.
Yeah, pretty close.
Also, Sideburn 2, Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
And Megamuzz, Brett Lovell.
What's
Welcome
that?
To the show. Now, Michael and Brett both are going to be kind of helping me. We got a huge cast tonight. A lot of stuff going on in this episode. Guys, this is like if we were wrestling, this is our WrestleMania. This is going to be our biggest show of this year. Really hope you guys stay tuned throughout the entire episode. I know a lot of people kind of tune in, check out from time to time. And if you're watching the show live, it's sure to be great and entertaining throughout. Please stay tuned throughout the whole show. There's lots of great surprises. To kick it off, I'm going to show something and tell everybody, hey, this is a good reason to keep listening to the entire episode. Now, I know a lot of people are listening to this on the audio version, but hey, this is a live show. It's Christmas. We do things live. If you're listening live to this show later on in this episode, you will have a chance to win a sealed Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee, provided courtesy of Capture Prey, our sponsor. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. And also our other sponsor, Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the greatest conventions year-round, such as BotCon and TFCon, and also on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Now that we've talked about our sponsors and everything, and you've got the heads up on a G2 Bumblebee giveaway masterpiece, I mean, it's a masterpiece, free, if you answer a question right later in this episode. Spread the word. Share it across Facebook groups, Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP because I'll be looking on Twitter and we'll be watching on Facebook on our Facebook group. And it has to be in our Facebook group, not on one of the shared links. In our Facebook group or on our Twitter, at TFYLP, and make sure you put at TFYLP and the answer whenever the question is asked. But tonight, this is a big show. We've got our Secret Santa. We've drawn names amongst the cast members, and we're all here. And we've sent our gifts out. We've all got our gifts in hand. Everybody hold up your gifts and say, yay! We got big gifts here. We're going to be opening up some things here on air. We're going to open up our gifts on air, talk a lot about them. You know, I'm sure after we open them, we'll hold them up and fiddle with them. As a preface, there's going to be a lot of rumbling and rattling and clicking and stuff. We're going to mute it as much as possible. So as the people that are listening on the audio-only version, you're not just hearing a bunch of crackling and stuff in your ear all the time and clicking and clacking. But just be forewarned, there will be some of that, so we apologize ahead of time. And we're going to be talking about the best and worst of 2015 figures that were released, our staff picks, as well as a huge surprise at the end of the episode. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that, and we'll be talking a little bit about everything this year. Well, let's look at 2015 in review. This is our last live show of 2015. I'm going to try and put together a hodgepodge episode to put up maybe next week. It all depends on the time that I have to do it. But we've had a lot of stuff go on TFYLP this year. I mean, what are some of the guests that we've had?
We've had Pete.
Yeah, Pete Sinclair, MockCon.
Pete Sinclair came on. We got some interesting reveals off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Whiting.
Yes.
Aaron Archer was this year, wasn't it?
Who was?
Aaron Archer.
Aaron Archer, yes. We had Aaron Archer back in June, I believe.
Carl Hartman.
Carl Hartman. We've had Carl Hartman. Let's see here. Who else?
Massey.
Yes, Massey. We've had many Massey attacks this year.
Duran, I seem to recall you interviewing somebody.
Yes, I interviewed Buzz Dixon, a G1 screenwriter, back at TF Expo in Wichita. That was a great time. And say hello to Phil Searle, who was also a guest, the founder of TF Expo. Great show. So next year, whenever TF Expo comes up, I encourage everybody to check out that little convention. It's a great show. Well run. Had a lot of fun there. Check it out. You know, we've talked about a lot of things here on the show, a lot of great news, a lot of interesting pieces and bits of information. Anybody have any favorite moments that they might want to talk about? I know, it's time, just a big surprise.
Probably that time that Massey attacked Don.
Oh, yeah, that's
don't it. Forget
which about one? One which time?
Yeah, this one time at band camp.
Yeah.
I liked it when we talked about was a Brave episode this year.
That was last year, actually.
That was last year. Okay, I couldn't remember because I really liked that, and I've gotten compliments online about the Brave episode.
Yeah, now there's a number of episodes. I know our Paul Eiding episode it's been about 20, 30 episodes ago now. Gosh, it's hard to believe that it's been that long ago. Maybe not 30. I'd say about 20 episodes. But got a lot of great response from that episode. So fans, if you are wondering what we're talking about and everything, check out tftalk.net. That's our website. You can go on there and find a near complete list of every episode of TFYLP, and you can download them or view them regarding whichever episode it is. I know we didn't start YouTubing until about episode 40 something, I believe. And episode number one is actually lost in the annals of time, unfortunately.
It's lost there? In your angle?
What? Not in the anals of time, Greg. I know you're fixated on anuses, but yeah, no, no.
Merry All Christmas, right. everybody.
Yes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, it is a season of giving.
So. Yes. And also receiving, you know, because we love to receive. Everybody loves to receive.
you just put yourself right into that one. Just that's all I'm saying.
Well, you love to give and receive. So, I mean, everybody loves to give and receive.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Yes. Yes, we love to have fun. Yeah, we all have our dark pages, and we and every one of us have our skeletons in our closet. We just take them out and dance with them once in a while. So, yeah. All right, Brett, who was it that was going to go first? Let's start with our Secret Santa stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do the Secret Santa stuff, and as Duran said, we basically picked each numbers, and the numbers were associated with cast members, and so we each got a Secret Santa. And the whole thing was that we didn't put any limitation on it. No money limitation, no, I guess, class or, you know, good common sense. We didn't do any of that stuff. It's just whatever you wanted to put into the box and send to your recipient of a Secret Santa. So I think we're going to be in for a surprise. I think maybe some weird stuff, maybe some stuff that people are going to be very jealous that they got. So I think it's going to be really neat. Now, we're going to start off with Tobias.
Yeah. And Secret Santa reached the United Kingdom. So that's nice.
Who was your Secret Santa, by the way?
Okay, I should reveal this now. It was Headmaster Don.
Awesome.
Yep.
Headmaster Don.
This great package. This is a Hasbro toy box. It says action figures on it. So, yes, I'm very, very curious
already,
about this.
Already you have a collectible. You have
it's from Walmart. Yeah.
This is mint in box.
Yeah.
I mean, come years from now, that thing might be worth 50, 60 cents. I mean, come on.
Yeah, for sure.
Heck.
If cardboard prices keep going up like they are.
Yeah.
And it's got the original sticker on it as well. It says Royal Mail Tract. you never get that in the States.
Yeah. Oh, just as a side note, John and Carl gave me one of the BotCon 1984 boxes to take some stuff home with.
Wow.
Wow. That is something.
I don't have no idea where it's at.
Massey's got it, right?
Yeah, he's probably slept in it at least once.
So, I'm very curious. So, I'm going to open this now.
Yeah.
The suspense is killing us.
I hope you like it.
I hope everyone brought their trusty package openers.
Them.
Not mine.
I better.
And it's actually, right here.
And it's not Massey. It is not Massey.
I was about to say, is it Massey in that box?
I hope not, because he's been sitting here for a while now.
Right now, it's struggling as Massey.
He doesn't need air. All he needs is blood.
And it's Schrodinger's Massey. We don't know if he exists or not.
That meant Jimmy bit me to it.
Wow.
Tell us.
Wow. Look at this
one. Wow.
What is it?
It's it. Scrooge.
Well, we need, for our audio listeners, we need to tell what we got.
Yeah. This is a Legends class, or what they call them in Combiner Wars?
Yeah, it's a Legends group. Yeah.
They're really big.
For defense, or it's called Target.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's the shield.
On the chest.
Wow. But,
sacrifice.
But I think... But,
there's more.
Yeah. Oh, there's more!
But wait, there's more!
Ta-da.
Ooh!
I figured if he's going to get a Combiner Wars figure, he might as well get the best Voyager they've done.
I totally agree. I totally agree, wow. Don. Hotspot is the home.
You're the best Santa ever.
Gone. So far. The best Santa so far.
So even if you don't complete the Protector Bots, you've got one of the best Legends figures and one of the and the best Voyager figure they've come out with.
Yeah. Well, I'm overwhelmed. Really great.
Merry Christmas, the Bass.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Wow.
That's awesome. So, Tobias, what's your favorite figure of 2015?
Well, my favorite figure is, without a doubt, this guy. Masterpiece Starsaver.
Ooh.
It is so, so great. And he comes with a sort of, two swords, really. One smaller one and one big one for this guy in this form. And a really great shield as well, of course.
And he was released in what, January?
Yeah, I think so. It's also in the beginning of the year, so it still counts. It's one of the greatest figures I ever bought for myself. Yeah. And I never owned a Star Saber myself, but I really wanted one, but they were like really pricey. So when I heard about Masterpiece figure being done, I had to get this one, and I never regretted it because it's so great. And I got that feeling, you know, I remember mentioning it before here on the podcast, but I got that feeling, you know, when I got my first X-Wing when I was 9 years old, and that was amazing. Just the same feeling, but just looking at him, holding him, and transforming him. It's wow.
He's got the size and the chunkiness and then the posability added onto it. And you know, Saber, it could be a masterpiece sold by itself, and I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a great piece of art. I can say it's truly a piece of art, and lots of play value, even for a grown man as me. So, wow.
Awesome. So, let's talk a little bit about your gift. Any thoughts on, you know, have you been wanting those figures, or any curiosity that you're finally going to be able to answer about those figures?
Yeah. I'm really interested in the Combiner Wars figures because when they released the first wave, I got Superion and Motormaster. And I loved those. I think it was brilliant. And I wanted to buy the other ones as well. But since we've been moving to the United Kingdom, we've been short on money. And we're working our way up here. So I really didn't expect to get this great Voyager class hotspots and the groove. No way. I was thinking of investing in those next year.
So your favorite was Masterpiece Star Saber.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Worst?
Well, since I haven't bought that many Transformers this year, and those that I have bought, I really like. So I really don't have a worst one. But going by the pictures I've seen for some of them, we got that repainted, Optimus Prime as Huffer. Yeah. So that will be my pick.
You know, I collect the Legends quite a bit, and those are the only two that I passed on simply because they just didn't work for me.
No, it doesn't look like Huffer.
But for the most part, I'm absolutely digging all the Legends so far, for the most part. That little foreshadowing there. I think actually one of the best Legends that's been released so far, though, has been Shockwave. That thing is really awesome, and the usability, with the Combiner Wars guys, that he can actually be like a pistol for Bruticus, awesome.
It's the same size as the One Action Masters.
Mm.
And on top of that, in the G2 set, he's colored in his Action Master colors.
I have Action Master Shockwave. He's just kind of buried at the moment. That's why I didn't. I just have a Soundwave handy. But they're all the same size.
Awesome. So yeah. Brett, who have we got next?
It's our other overseers, the king.
Overseers.
Overseers.
The overlord.
Overseers. They rule over us from the future. Yeah.
Well,
with their mighty powers.
Well, remember, he can send us an unlimited amount of poisonous animals. So
I was just thinking about all the Japanese exclusive goodness that he could bring to us. So, I mean, yes, I'll still say it by this. Overseers.
And he's a Time Lord.
Correct. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't beat that.
I do have a TARDIS somewhere, like.
It's full of toys.
So I got this parcel from an Australian address. I've actually no idea who sent it to me.
The Secret Santa
unless,
who got
hanged. Unless there's like a note in here.
Well, if nothing else, someone fess up.
Anyone here get hanged?
Anybody? If you're muted, you need to unmute yourself.
It must be somebody that wasn't able to be on tonight.
Right. It could be, let's see, we have Natsube, we have Daniel, and we have Rick. Ooh. So it could have been one of those three.
I
was actually going to wait until he had a chance to see if there might be some kind of thing inside or not, but that was me.
Even though we said, stay up. That's okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Get over there again and just be quiet.
You said fess up?
I did say fess up. So, you didn't.
What are you opening, Hank?
What you got?
So it's Top Trumps cards, I think.
Top Trumps cards.
Let's see.
Is that just playing cards?
Yeah, I think so. Hang on. But it's got like, it's like the comic. I don't think you can see it properly. But it's like comic art on it.
Oh, neat.
Sweet.
Let's see how it is inside. So while I'm opening this, should I talk about my favorite and most hated idea?
You can.
So for me, I think my favorite figure of the year would be the Takara Legend release of Brainstorm, which was in January, so technically still part of this year. So I'm not off by too much. I can't open this. I guess the main reason I like it so much is the proportions is wonderful. And like if you look at it, it looks like the proportions of a Japanese anime robot. It's great. Vehicle form is easily it's easy to transform to him, and he's a headmaster. I mean, before we got Titan Wars, I thought he's all we'll get for the headmaster side of it. And like, yeah, I cannot like express how much fun he is to play with. Yes, I do play with my toys. My wife gives me a weird look.
We all play with our toys.
I do that. I'm playing with toys.
That's
right
why now. We're here.
And the worst one is Combiner Wars Optimus Prime for me. And it's just his proportions are so weird. Tiny little head. His combined form isn't that fantastic. And I know they fixed it with the white version, the Battle something Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Still no. Okay, cool. So each card has stats and an ability on it, and I think it's like in Top Trumps where you just select one ability and play against, and it's all using the G1 toy art. You can see.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I've never heard of this before.
No, I have not either. So I have no idea who got this for me, but thank you very much. It's really awesome.
It was Jim Black.
It was Jim.
Those are cool.
Was it?
Yeah.
Jim's silent. Why is he so silent, Jim?
I forgot to unmute. My bad. Yeah, I haven't heard of those either. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, that's great.
So Hank, what was your favorite?
How random is the top spin?
Oh, that is,
I've always loved the Jumpstarter box art.
That's the best of the bunch right there. You can't. You might as well right stop. There. That's it. You're done with that. That's it. That's
Twin Twist.
And if you absolutely have to have a Twin Twist, I'm sure Brett can hook you up with one.
Give it to you for a nickel.
Plenty.
Here's a box. It's not a question of what, it's a question of how many.
It's how many do you want?
It's that got saturated a bit, wasn't it? Because I got it for so cheap when I had when I got the two of them.
Some comic needs like IDW needs to have them in the comics as like a whole army, just to try to move those things.
Aren't they dead in IDW?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a shame.
Last stand of the record.
But yes. Thanks, Jim.
No problem. Spoilers, by the way.
That was like months ago, a year ago. Give or take.
I don't follow the comics. I was just being.
You're being you.
Right.
Darn you, Jim.
That's really neat. I like that.
Nice.
So, Tobias, any other thoughts on your gift or anything?
You mean?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I just
tweeted about Tobias and his name was on my mind.
I just figured we were just gonna go backwards again.
You overseas people all over the
We really want to know what he knows about or what he thinks about that hotspot.
Put him on the spot by asking him about.
I think this is going. This is awesome because I've never actually seen it before.
I haven't either.
It's possible I haven't actually looked for it. I assume it'd probably be in like one of those one of our news agencies would sell it. I don't know, but that is freaking awesome. I even if I don't play with it all the time, I'd probably be like staring at the cars going, oh, that's really cool.
Well,
Ooh, whose stats are better? Yeah.
Well, actually, what you could probably do is if they're like the standard size of like playing cards or baseball cards, you could buy some baseball card albums and like hang them on your wall so you can look at the artwork.
Oh, yeah.
A fantastic idea.
Yeah. Excellent.
There's some really weird stuff on this card, by the way. There's an ability here called Disguise, right? And Astro Train's got a disguise of 5. And then you look at Barrage, he's got a disguise of 20. So obviously being an insect is harder to... you've got better disguises than a 20.
Let's see here. Giant robot insect and a
purple train.
A train with wings.
Well, in his train mode, he didn't really have wings.
But he had rust goes in the back.
All right.
Well, at least not as bad as Cosmos with 1.
Did you say his worst?
Come on, wait a minute. Come on, even his alt mode UFO would stand out. Come on, let's be honest there.
Not
I would even give him a 1.
He's an alien robot disguising himself as an alien spaceship. Yeah, that's
exactly.
A disguise. Nobody's gonna see that and think, oh, alien.
Brilliant.
I'll just hang out over here at Area 51 and you're fine.
I want to believe.
Yeah. And on that note, Don.
Yes. Well, my secret Santa was Brett.
Yay!
And once I verified that the box was not ticking, always a plus.
Just smell it.
Yeah. So I'm
the battery went dead.
All right. So
he picks it up and it's vibrating and he can hear.
All right. Okay, opening up the box.
You remember what we said about receiving earlier?
All I'm saying is it's something you really need.
Yeah. I really need this.
Go with it.
Rolled galls. A box of galls.
Yes.
Massy attacks.
There's more. Cat treats for bribery.
There you go.
Cat toy for distraction to run away.
Well, that was just Massey's gift.
Oh, okay. Oh,
this is a show about toys.
You didn't. You.
Well, you got to show my wonderful wrapping skills.
Well, yeah, it's wrapped in galls. But this, if this is what I think it is.
I don't know.
Let me see. I can only
imagine what you're thinking.
Okay, you know I've got all the Function X. So this has got to be what I was looking at TFCon, but could not get.
Please tell me I got it right. My memory's not so good.
Ah, sweet. Sweet.
Did I get the right one?
You got the right one.
The suspension is killing me, Don. What do you get?
Well, the good thing is I'm not sick, but I got a virus.
I gave him a virus. Yay.
Nice.
I've got the one Function X that slipped through my fingers because they came out of BotCon and were gone before I even knew they existed.
I can make a pun about something slipping through your fingers, but I'm not going to. I'm going to take the high road and say that I gave you a virus that usually lasts 24 to 48 hours, but this one's going to last forever.
Yes.
At least until Massey attacks
him. You should have used protection, Don. You wouldn't have got that virus.
I gave him gauze.
You should have sent him some penicillin.
Actually, I'm allergic to penicillin. Actually, I'm allergic to penicillin, and it about killed me in the hospital when I was younger. So,
You shouldn't have sent him penicillin.
Don, at least you have some cat treats to toss over in the corner and have Massey chase those. Exactly. While you can play with virus,
exactly.
And then if he does give up on the treats and everything, and he attacks you, then you have gauze to put around your wings.
I do want to do one little disclosure on that in case Massey does not like the treats. Coming from someone that has dogs, I've had dogs all my life and never had a cat. I just picked the first damn thing I saw.
Well, they look like they're you know the higher grade than what I get him.
Oh, I don't want to spoil him or anything.
You bought him the deluxe. I would open those right now. That was
literally the first thing I walked over my cat. Grab it.
So, Don, what's your favorite thing about the gift? But why is that cat treat what you wanted, and why does it make you happy?
It's the cat toy.
It keeps you from getting scratched.
The cat toy's got to be your favorite.
Well, the question is the cat toy for Don or is it for Massey? Is virus for Massey and Don gets the cat toy?
Could be.
Massey would love a virus.
Brett, thank you very much. I appreciate. Yeah, so we can bop the head around and play with the little headmaster. Thank you, Brett. I appreciate that. You made my Function X collection a little more complete, so I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
My favorite for the year is not Generations RC.
Holy crap!
Breaking
news flash here.
News flash.
Don does not like Generations RC.
Oh, no.
Generations, just remember.
You heard it right here.
Now, just remember, he makes this of his own free will. It had nothing to do with the fact that I gave him a virus.
So, as a disclaimer, I think she's a great toy. She's not a toy of the year because there's nothing in here that we couldn't have gotten for Generations, Reveal the Shield, Universe. So she's a great toy, and I'm glad I have her. But my toy of the year, and I'm doing this as a group, Superion. Because even though the individual aerial bots may have some flaws, as a whole, Superion made you love the aerial bots. Which, think about that. The aerial bots being one of the best combiners we've ever gotten. The aerial bots, who are as plain and as simple.
you said plain. I got it.
A pun.
From Dawn.
Yes. So I mean, I've always liked aerial bots, but they're kind of blah. But
now we need to call you Pun Master Dawn.
My master's done. So, but in this Combiner Wars motif. Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Quick. Yes. Give him the toy.
Give him the virus.
Get the gauze.
The gauze is right here. So Superion is my choice for Toy of the Year because it was executed so well that it actually made us care about Superion, and he was that strong of a figure as the first Wave Toy.
He is such a pretty cat.
Yes.
Meow. He looks devious.
Aww.
Yeah. Now, I will say he slightly beat out Masterpiece Blue Streak. He slightly beat out Masterpiece for me wanting something for so many years. My worst toy of the year is actually a parallel to what Tobias said. The Pipes version using that Optimus Prime mold. It does not work. Huffer and Pipes have unique silhouettes that, and with the amount of retooling we've seen this year on just Alpha Bravos and Rooks to Swindles and everything else, you know, they could have made a new mold for Huffer and then used it for Pipes, or at least had an alternate transformation that would be for Pipes as well. That they Optimus Prime mold just does not work for them. That's it.
All right.
So Don, Virus. What you said it slipped through your fingers. How did you miss that awesome repaint?
Well, because I was not in the dealer's room when they brought it out to sale at that booth. And I did not find out about it until it was already sold out. So
didn't they have like a second run of it though?
No, not that I know of. I have not seen this figure available for less than about.
That was the last one. That was the only one they did it. And the funny part was I was told about it after they'd already had him out for about an hour. And when I ran back there, the guy had one left that he had been holding. The guy didn't come back for. So you literally got the last one they sold.
Wow. Well, I appreciate it, man. It's just the only one I don't have right now is the regular version of Crocs. And but this definitely helps get my Function X collection a little bit more.
Yeah, the Crocs will be easy to get. That one will be easy.
So that
the Virus was to you what Positum is to me. That Optimus colored alligator. Remember, I missed that at BotCon this year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, go ahead, Don.
No, wait, you go ahead.
That Virus mold, the Function X code, it's just so genius in the transformation. I love how the hood does that slide from the hip plate all the way up to the chest there. I mean, it's just genius how it's done.
And you can never go wrong with a black repaint.
Yeah.
Every single time. They're called.
Is it meant to be an homage to anything or?
Unless they just feel like doing something Takara-ish and just do a black repaint.
It's very pretty one at that.
Yep.
All right. Brett, who's next on our list?
Stuart!
Yay!
You're up.
I get to play with my package on camera.
Everyone get their microscopes out. Wow. Come on.
Now,
magnifying glass.
And there goes.
I don't own a Perceptor.
My secret Santa was Chad Williams. He's not on the show tonight, and of course his name's not on the package. It was I guess he had to put a little label here because it's from Chad. I was able to pick it up in person because he doesn't live that far away, and we all kind of had to get together recently. So let's see what he got.
Oh, and Merry Christmas, Chad. We'll be putting your video up on the public group very soon. I'm going to edit it down. It's about 7 or 8 minutes long. So, for those of you who missed Natsume Ryu after the show, go and check hers out on the Facebook group.
This is what I always wanted. A priority mailbox.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta get my little filthy knife out here to cut some tape.
I thought they had zip strips.
Well, they got tape over top. Let's see.
Oh.
No, well, this side's kind of loose. I just pull it up. Cut a little tape. All right, we have some newspaper. a Little Caesars coupon, and Black Knight Slug.
Ooh.
This looks like a Takara exclusive, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the best.
The Advanced. I would be unaware of it existed, but that is awesome.
Yeah, it's the Advanced line.
It's the movie accurate colors, too. If you remember in the movie, they were more blacks and grays and everything.
Gray.
Yeah. But
that's the best of the Dinobots from the movie line.
It is.
I never owned this mold, so that's new.
Cool.
Yeah, got an exclusive car movie.
That's pretty great mold.
And you've just gave him more screen time than he had in the movie itself.
Yes. Yes.
And now off to eBay.
Talking right here. So, okay, so for my, I want to start with my worst toy of the year. I'm going to go ahead and say the RID Minicons. I love Minicons just as a concept and as little toys, but these things, they turn into either torpedoes or like little disc things, and they're like so simple. Like, I bought the Scorpion one, and it just like you just pulled the tail up a little bit and the claws moved a little bit, and it's just, there was so minimal amount of movement, it wasn't worth the $5 I paid for it. Those things are just garbage. Well, if they turned into something more interesting, like if it turned from a Scorpion into like a jet or a tank, or but just it turns into like this little useless torpedo thing that just, I don't know, I thought they sucked.
But now, just as a clarifier, you don't mean as far as fix it himself.
No, fix it's not immediate. No, the Minicons are the little
Minicon deployed
disc things that they make launchers to go with,
or the ones that are deployed.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, fix it is a Minicon. I just made sure he wasn't being
okay.
Because fix it is all
kinds. Yeah, on the shelf, fix it's like a Legends class.
I got you.
See, yeah. I've almost bought some of those Minicons because I really liked the Bot Shots line, and I thought maybe it would be something similar. But they're even less than that.
Because the Bot Shots, at least they've got the spring loaded gimmick where you just bump it and it pops open.
Yeah.
And these things, the little movement they have, if they had like a spring in there and a trigger where they would do it automatically, that would definitely bump them up to be cooler. But you've got to like move it yourself, and it moves so little, it's just I didn't care for them at all.
Those are your least favorites?
That was my least favorites. My favorite toy of the year, I even went and got it a minute ago. I was going to say Ultra Magnus, and then I remembered, you know, not somebody picked that one. And I do like that toy, but as I was going to get it, I saw another toy I forgot that I bought. And it's my favorite. And it's my favorite for one simple reason. Boobs. The Black Arachnia. Remold of animated Black Arachnia. This is the one they remolded to look like Beast Wars Black Arachnia. And they remolded it to have these ginormous breasts.
I didn't know you were an animal man.
The fact that they would give the toy giant boobs. I mean, you can see in this shot here. People are watching the video. She's got these giant breasticles.
Have you looked at the pictures of the comic that's included with it?
Oh, yeah. The comic, she's like standing, you know, like sitting there like, oh, look how big they are. Even though that's not the dialogue saying, that's what her look totally says. So that's my favorite figure just for the goofiness. There's a lot of really good toys. Probably the other toys are better than this. But just the fact that they remolded it to give it large boobs. And then they even had the artwork on the box. You know, like, look at my boobs. They're way out front where you can't miss them.
That's hilarious. That's a Greg answer if ever was given.
Leave it to a boob to choose boobs.
Well, you know, it's
hey, boobs always come in pairs.
Well, those guys, y'all know me well enough to know I like the ridiculous figures. Like, I loved that, what was it, from Beast Hunters with the Megatron that looked like a Sharktacon, just because of the ridiculousness of it. Same thing. It's just so goofy, but it has to be the top spot.
No, I think we can safely quote G1 Optimus. It's a booby trap that actually catches boobies.
Yes, if that was the point, it caught this booby. He bought one.
Caught the booby. So who all do we have left that has not opened? Just real quick.
We have Mr. Swift. We have Jim Black. We have you, and we have myself.
Okay, I just wanted to kind of get some time now. Now, Greg, your thoughts on Black Knight Slug? Any further thoughts on him?
But something I didn't know existed. I'm not really a huge fan of the movie toys, but I like the idea that it's an exclusive. I'll probably leave it sealed, just because.
Actually, he's a fun little transformation too. I'd open him.
I don't know. He's not purple and orange. I mean.
Yeah. And he's got the like Beast Force Dinobot. He's got the spinning blades of death. You know.
Well, I may open him one day if I get bored. But yeah, like you guys said, you can't go wrong with black repaint. That's such a car thing to do. And that's a black repaint I didn't know existed until now. It is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Next on the list.
Let's see. That would be Michael Swift.
Yep. So my Secret Santa was Greg. And I got...
I'd be very careful opening that one.
Yeah. I got two boxes here. I'm told to open the big one first, small one second. So I got my pocket knife. I'm going in.
This may take a few minutes.
It may take a few minutes.
So while he's doing that, listener Eric Dupuy on Twitter, he said for him, best and worst of 2015. He's with Insane Galvatron on the RID Minicon Deployers as the worst. And his favorite, Combiner Wars Titan Devastator. So, yeah. I think a lot of people, there's several of us that was fighting over that answer as our
what
best.
What is this?
Check out the reaction.
What is this? Holy crap.
Keep looking.
What? This is awesome. Holy crap. That is sweet. So they're, it's not just, I mean, they look like Combiner Wars, you know, look. You see the Combiner Wars, except for they're not. They've been customized. It's RID characters. This is strange. Wow.
That's why you're getting so custom there. You do not know how hard it is to do five customs in a month. I mean, I wasn't just doing one. I was doing five figures. I was like, every evening I was coming home, working until all hours of the morning.
Dude, this is awesome.
This is sweet.
Good.
which one's which, Michael?
So, we got Breakdown as Prowl.
You gotta take them out and show them off, man.
Yeah. All right, this should already be open.
I'm sure Insane Galvatron will share pictures in the Facebook group after. Well, you can probably share them now if you can.
They're still on my phone. I gotta transfer.
So cool. So, you got Prowl here. He's all customized.
Well.
You see the blue there?
Super proud.
His gun has the red and blue for like the light bar, so when you attach it in car mode, it's got his police lights.
Here you go. Oh, this is so cool. Greg, this is so freaking cool. I love Combiner Wars, but this is
amazing. I remember you were a big fan of RID. RD 1.0 from 2001. So,
well, his screen name is Sideburn 2.
Yes.
So here you go. You got
Beetle Brick.
You got Rook as Ultra Magnus.
All right. That's, I'm digging it.
Sweet. And check out his painted gun. I painted it to look like RD Ultra Magnus' weapon.
That's awesome. Look at that thing.
Wood bolts. Nice.
So when you attach it in vehicle mode, it's on top like Magnus' weapon.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I'm going to save that one for last. So here we have First Aid as X-Brawn. This is freaking cool. Yeah, this is super. Yeah, because Prowl was also Super Mode had the blue. So we got Super Mode Prowl, Super Mode X-Brawn. This thing looked sweet.
X-Brawn. A big part of the reason for that was because of being pressed for time. From the time we drew names until I had to mail it, those molds were already available in those colors, so it minimized the amount of work I had to do.
This is awesome. Look at that. That's cool.
Can you zoom? Can you hold the face up there? He's got the faceplate and everything. Looks like.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
That was the Prowl, or no, the Ironhide head. I just sanded his face down to make the faceplate.
That is cool. That is cool. I'm going to open this one. I'm going to save the best for last. Because in my mind, the best is going to be... look at that.
Oh my god.
That is lovely.
Greg, you are reading my mind because this is the exact thing that I've said on RFC to the guys that I wish they had done for BotCon.
Sideburn, those can all be transformed. I tried to make them as durable as possible, but keep in mind they are customs. So transform, move each part intentionally and carefully. I tried to make them as durable as possible, but paint chipping is always a potential problem.
And they will combine. Yeah, I have seen pictures of these beforehand.
Now, if you noticed, the other box, or the that you got Optimus out of, there was a piece of like a paper towel wrapped up in the bottom.
Yeah,
that is an alternate. That's an alternate head because I modified the Defensor head, but I didn't really think it looked Omega Prime-ish enough. So there's a secondary head in there. If you wanted to pop that one off, there's another one you can put on instead.
So I'll show the heads. So here's the Defensor modified head.
Okay.
I can't really see it because the figure's in the way. And here's the alternate
head. Is that the super mode from... that's the super mode, right?
That's Optimal Optimus head.
Yeah, the Optimal Optimus head I think looks best in my opinion.
But if you notice, it won't mount like it is. I'll go ahead and spoil the other box if they want to save time. The other box he got was from Shapeways. It's an adapter that will allow the Optimal Optimus head to fit. I had to have it shipped straight to you because I didn't have time for Shapeways to get it to me in time to mail it to you.
All right, so last one. I saved the best for last because it's Sideburn.
Yes.
And it's super mode color.
He's got the flame job.
Yeah, flames.
Speed breaker, super mode.
That is really cool. That is awesome, Greg. Greg.
Very cool. Okay, So far, I think Sideburn has gotten the coolest gift. hands down, that's got to be the coolest gift so far. You got to take lots of pictures and post them on the Facebook group for people to see. You got to brag about it.
I got so much stuff all over the place. All right.
Before we go to Jim, I'm going to go ahead and remind Liz, we're doing a giveaway tonight. Merry Christmas giveaway on TFYLP. If you're watching the video right now, you're seeing that I'm holding up a Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee sealed brand spanking new from our sponsor Captured Prey. And we want to thank Orson because he helped organize and get all the names drawn and everything. He was our impartial person that just randomly assigned names and everything. And we got Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee. Guess what, fans? You have a chance to win this Bumblebee. I will ship it out tomorrow if you can tweet me your address and private message me if you answer this question correctly. The first person to tweet at TFYLP and the correct answer, or post it in our Facebook group, and it has to be in our Facebook group, in the podcast or in this episode's thread, will win that Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee. Now, the caveat is you can't be associated with TFYLP as far as being a former cast member, a current cast member, sponsor, etc. And you cannot have been a previous winner of a giveaway for TFYLP to make it fair for everyone. All right, here's the question. And it may take some people time to guess it right, and you only get one guess right now. And if we don't have a correct answer by the end of the episode, we'll get it spit out there. I'm sure you might get the answer eventually. Who on TFYLP was the very first guest, voice actor guest, that we ever had on TFYLP? Who was it? The first person that tweeted us at TFYLP with the correct answer or posted on our Facebook group will win a Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee. courtesy of Capture Prey, and with a Merry Christmas from TFYLP. You're winning a masterpiece now, people. Who is our very first voice actor guest? Voice actor guest. We had guests before him, but who is our first voice actor guest on TFYLP? The winner will win a masterpiece G2 Bumblebee. So let's get those answers. So Brett, who was next? Was it Jim?
Well, Mike, did you give your favorite and your worst?
That's right. So, we did not do that.
In the excellent example of how to use a mold and how not to use a mold, mine is a double-edged sword. My best of this year, I'm giving that to Combiner Wars Megatron as the G1 version. Worst of this year, I'm giving it to Armada Megatron. Because while the G1 use of that mold is amazing, the Armada one is an absolute turd.
Even though it's the same mold, just the just changes in it and the colors.
Poor use of a repaint.
Yeah,
totally poor use.
I still would have rather seen that second use as a G2 Megatron, to be honest.
Yeah, that would work.
I agree. Maybe. And we may get one down the road. Who knows?
But yeah, so those are my worst and best. And as for, you know, my gift, I can't say anything about ever, you know, having a strong desire for this beyond seeing a Digibash once and saying that would be amazing. So this is just a pure, like, unique gift right here. It's amazing. Thank you, Greg.
Well, you're welcome.
Absolutely. A lot of time went into that. That's awesome.
Well, I was thinking, Ron and I were talking about it the other day. If I had gotten anybody else's name, they probably would have just got a store-bought gift. But just Sideburn's been with us since the beginning. He was as a listener, active on the website, and I just know he's crazy about RID. So when I was told I had his name, I was looking around and I had an extra hotspot here, and the idea just popped in my head, and I was like, I know what he needs.
I appreciate it. It's awesome.
All right. Darren, why don't we go ahead and knock you out of the way? Why don't you go next?
Who?
As he is busy typing away.
Oh, me?
Yeah, why don't you go next?
Okay. Give me just a second. Okay. Hold on. Okay. I'm kind of got a million things going on right now. All right. My Secret Santa. It doesn't say on the package, but it was delivered to me in person from our sponsor, Capture Prey, Orson. He brought it to me in person. So it just says Secret Santa. And I love the kitty cats. You like the kitty cats, Don?
When they're not attacking me, I love them.
Kitty cats. All right. Well, let's see here. Let's open her up here. I don't know who my Secret Santa is, so we'll find out. Oh.
It's from Paul.
No. It is.
Do we have a member call?
No. My Secret Santa got me Unite Warrior Superion.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Unite Warrior Superion. Oh, man. I had this on pre-order from Orson, and it's just something I haven't picked. Well, there's a note in it. Well, that answers who my Secret Santa is.
Huh?
Our own Rick Alvarez, and go F yourself. Your hero, Rick Alvarez. Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much, and go F yourself too. But yes, Unite Warrior Superion, really awesome. Now I've got the aerial bots, but you know, I wanted the Unite Warriors versions because of the more cartoon accurate colors in the deco. Just absolutely beautiful. And it's got the white foot pads and hands like Superion's supposed to have. So I guess that means I'm going to be selling my Combiner Wars version soon. So, but yes, that is really awesome. Thank you.
Plus you get the cool box.
Yes, yes. Now I am getting a lot of echo here. You guys aren't hearing it?
Nope.
That's weird. Okay. My favorite figure of 2015 was released in March, much to some controversy, but I was able to pick up an unmodified one from a retailer, and it would be Masterpiece Exhaust. Absolutely gorgeous colors, gorgeous deco, absolutely fantastic figure. I mean, yeah, we got Wheeljack last year, but honestly, I think this deco trumps Wheeljack's because, I mean, it's just color, beautiful color. Look at that shade of blue.
When you transform that toy, mm-hmm. are you so satisfied that you feel the need to smoke afterward?
You know, pretty close to it. But, you know, that head sculpt just works for it. I mean, the visor and, yeah, it's beautiful. That's my favorite. Now, my least favorite, I actually got as a gift from Insane Galvatron. Was it last week or week before last?
Well, I think it was last week.
Yeah. Now, I got the three latest Combiner Wars Legends, Shockwave, Chop Shop, and this guy. Combiner Wars Buzzsaw. Now, he is a great fiddle former. He's fun to mess with. But I have to say, he's kind of crappy aesthetically. I mean, the bird mode's kind of crap, and the PDA, it or phone or whatever it is, yeah, it just kind of doesn't work. But he's fun to mess with. And but yeah, he's my worst, and Masterpiece Exhaust is my favorite. So yeah.
Good deal. All right. Jim Black.
Wrong button, sorry. Hi. Went to unmute my mic and ended up killing my camera. All right, got a box here. Yes, love boxes, especially Amazon Prime, because that's like the next Prime. One of the 13.
Would that be the first female Prime, because it's a big, tall woman in Amazon?
Perhaps.
Like Wonder Woman Prime?
Yeah. Okay. I see where you're going with that. That doesn't involve Snoo-Snoo at all, does it?
Yeah. Hey, Jim, I didn't hear. Did you say who your secret Santa was?
I don't know who it is.
Oh.
The label says nothing because it's all rolled up and sticking to itself. So I don't know.
Well, Greg, I know you were kidding, but now I want to see a Transformers series starring Alita 1 as the Prime character.
The Matrix of Snoo Snoo.
That'd be kind of cool.
A gift for you. You didn't have a very big list to choose from. Hope you have a happy Secret Santa Day, TFYLP. P.S. I'm going to laugh if everybody's postage box has the sender's names on it.
Okay. So who was your...
Fantastic. Or Van-tastic.
Is it Mr. Fantastic? Is that who your Combiner Secret Wars Santa was?
Ironhide.
Oh, very nice.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. That'll go with my Sunstreaker. Out of And of any of the G1 bots, you know, that weren't previously combiners, that they're doing in Combiner Wars, Ironhide would have to be probably one of my favorites. And I actually saw them at retail, but I picked up Sunstreaker first just because that's whose comic comes first in order. And I was just doing it by the comic. Easier way to make up a line. But yes, phenomenal. I love Ironhide. It's just one of the best bots, you know? He's just, I don't know, just awesome. Thank you.
Good deal.
Must fidget.
All right, you ready for your worst and favorites?
Yeah. As far as best and worst, I've got them both right here. Best of 2015, in my opinion, even though someone already said Devastator, Bone Crusher.
My very first Transformer homaged.
My very first Constructicon that I ever had was a G1 Bone Crusher from my great aunt shortly before she passed away. And Bone Crusher has always had that sentimental place for me because of that. I always associate that with memories of her. Oddly enough, that was also the first Transformer I tried taking apart because I was a kid. But it is very close to the G1 figure, too accurate, although I would have preferred the toy accurate face shield, but it's all good. He has a massive hand mode, so he can do the whole X-Bron thing. And out of the parts of the Devastator gun there, this here most represents his gun, so I just put it with him. I absolutely love it. My disappointment for 2015, I have to say, had it been implemented properly and done well, it wouldn't have been so bad. But this Combiner Wars mold, Blackjack, that also goes for Rodimus, of course, because it's the same mold. Several reasons. I mean, one, has the Dragon Ball Bansho fan here as a weapon. I'm sure you could try to use it as a gun if you, like, wedge the little slot into the back of his wrist, but it doesn't hold. And neither does his chest plate mode for Venusaur. So that was rather a disappointment. I mean, you can kind of push it on there and hope it stays, but it'll pop off eventually. I was pleased to see them kind of bring back MicroMasters a bit and bring him in as a homage to that. I just wish the gimmick would have worked better, and I wish there would have been a handle on the gun.
I actually like that toy. I mean, yeah, it fails as a chest, and he can't really hold his weapon, and he can, he's supposed to be an axe, but doesn't look like one. But I think the transformation stuff is actually pretty neat for a Legends figure.
Yeah.
Jim, who was your Secret Santa, by the way, again?
Well, I'm looking in the thing here.
There's no clue to it. That's the thing.
Anyone want to fess up?
I see nothing, however. It was sent from... Well, let me see if I can unstick this label here. Yeah. Whoever lives at Kegel Company, 172 Trade Street, Lexington, Kentucky.
That's Amazon. So that's Amazon.
Thank you, Amazon.
I actually have been by that building a number of times, and I can say that's Amazon.
Wait, this Ironhide doesn't have a crushed pelvis, does it?
No.
In case we're confusing any of our listeners who have never seen an episode of the show Futurama, check it out. You'll get the references.
All right, so yours is a mystery?
I have no identifier as to the identity of the Santa.
Does anyone here want to fess up and say they gave this Yahoo something?
Yahoo.
It might have been that to me.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So... let's see here. Okay. Yeah. And your favorite was Bone Crusher?
Masterpiece Bone Crusher. That's what I'm calling it. Very absolutely thrilled with it. And I'm also absolutely thrilled with my Ironhide.
Good deal. All right. I think that's just about everybody, I think. Oh, yeah, mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my little
bit box.
And while he's setting up, we still do not have a correct answer for our first guest that we had on TFYLP. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, if you want to shoot us guesses. But first one to answer correctly wins.
Now that's one guess only each, right?
Well, there's been a few people guessing, and I'm just going to open it up. But, yeah, Masterpiece G2 Bumblebee awaits.
There you go. All right. Mine came from Japan, and my process of elimination makes me believe it is Hang. Is it he's the one my Secret Santa might be? So...
I'll take that as this.
Yeah. He's the crafty type. He's the crafty type.
Well, he lives in Australia. He has to be to live.
That's true. Okay, let's see here.
I get other Asians to do my dirty work for me.
Is that how it works? I see that. There we go. All right, there it is. There's the box.
Crinkle.
I cannot believe what all you can put in this box.
That's what she said.
Holy crap!
Wow.
That's also what she said.
Wow.
That's impressive. It's bigger than I expected.
Well, they always say that.
That's also what she said.
Wow. No. I was just having a little fun. Okay.
She said that too.
Let's see what we got here. I got a prize box, which is probably like soy sauce or something. Okay. Okay. Let's see what we got here.
That's racist.
No, but I really do. I think it is. I guess what it is.
You mean not racist enough?
Oh, are these the coffee ones? Is that what they're called? Let's see here. Is this it?
Yep.
Now I'm going to open them and you shall see.
Now that you've blown everybody's eardrum.
That's the neat part because I'm trying to guess what these are. They're gold. So
there was there's a set which is like shown on the packaging, but then these were like the chases. So it's like buying a whole bunch of figurines, but you get the chase ones.
The chase ones.
Yeah. Oh,
you have a gold Starscream. Trying to cut back for time here. Gold Megatron.
So what are these now?
That's what I thought, but I was afraid to say. And then a gold Prime.
So it's like you know what gachapons are, right? Like the little balls you get from the machine. But this type are like they're sold in little boxes, so they're blind packed. You have a whole group of the G1 characters, but there were three chases, so they're like the one in a box kind of figures. So there's an Optimus, a Starscream, and a Megatron. So and that's why they're golden as well, because the others would be just regular colors.
Nice. So that's what I like. Sweet. Gold. I like gold.
Gold.
Yes. Thank you very much. I definitely wouldn't have been able to get these myself. That's for sure. Because I'm not about to go and try and buy, I don't know how many, one per pack and three pack. No, thank you.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that very much. All righty. Now, this is where it's going to get fun because my favorite, I don't know if everyone's going to agree with me because I picked Masterpiece Starscream.
Ooh.
And it wasn't because it came with the coronation kit, but it's actually just because it was, to me, it was the more accurate And of course, it didn't have the hip kibble that the predecessor had.
Now, this is the U.S. version?
This is the U.S., the Hasbro version that came out this year.
I didn't think it came with the cape and crown, did it? I thought that
it did not. The Takara one came with it, but Hasbro did not.
Oh, that's right. This one is the Takara one. I stand corrected.
And that's not a 2015 figure because it came out last year, I think.
Did that one come out last year? I kept asking you guys.
Starscream did come out this year.
Well, it looks like that one. There we go. Now, this is the one that came with the Coronation Kid, so I guess that would be
last year.
The Takara one.
Yeah.
Well, your answer can still be the U.S. version, just no cape and crown.
Yeah, but I don't have that one yet, so I wouldn't know.
It's the same toy, just no cape and crown.
That's true. But the one I hated the most, my problem is I don't collect the Combiner Wars and all this, the new stuff. The only thing I collect that's new is the Masterpiece. So all my good and bad are going to come from Masterpiece. And I happened to buy him, Masterpiece Trax, and I would put him as the worst figure that I got this year. And I'm going to get a lot of, rebuke and rebuttal against this or whatever. But the transformation is completely sloppy. I don't like the transformation. And the backpack piece, I just cannot believe that they couldn't have made a better backpack than this and incorporated some way of keeping this head from – it's not attached to anything. It just flops around. So I just think it was a piss-poor design.
Well, it wasn't designed by the same guy that made Wheeljack and Prowl and Sideswipe. That was made by the guy that made the MP09 Rodimus and the first Megatron. So,
well, then it just goes to show that he still didn't learn anything because it's a piece of crap. So, but the only neat thing about it, this is actually it
looks good.
No,
I think he's awesome. I mean, he's not perfect.
You little blaster.
He's not perfect, but he's awesome.
As a matter of fact, I didn't like him so much, and this thing just keeps dropping on me. I didn't like it so much that I went ahead and canceled the order for the red one. I don't even want it. So,
but the red one has a different body build, though. It's supposed to be slimmer or something.
Different
like
head,
that.
Different body build.
Yeah, but the backpack's going to be the same. It's just too big. I guess I want too much, but. If you look at the side profile on this, I just think there had to be a way to make this closer.
So too much junk in the trunk.
Too much junk in the back, not the trunk. Actually, he's got to stick up his ass.
That's the trunk of the car, though, right?
Yeah, but he's also got, this might do something for Stuart, but,
I put her main tablet. All
right. Gives a whole new meaning to sit and spin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. We've had some great stuff going on here and everything. I want to thank everybody that has been on here, but we're going to have to drop a person or two in order for this last big surprise, because guys, I got a surprise for not only the listeners, but for you cast members too. Was it Tobias? Was you going to have to hop off or?
Yeah.
All right. Man, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you all, and thanks once again, Secret Santa Don, for these great gifts.
Yeah,
they're really, really great.
Happy holidays.
During the old episode.
Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, Tobias.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Tobias.
Merry Christmas and New Year.
But guys, I want to introduce you guys. I am sending a link to someone right now. We've always had some really cool surprises here on TFYLP, and this is one I hope fans will enjoy. It's not every day that something like this can happen. So, they have seen the link. So,
they.
Well, this person.
They.
Well,
they.
The singular.
They, the individual that's no longer, that's not here yet.
Yeah.
The singular they.
Maybe.
Well,
But, you know, guys, you know, this is a big surprise, and it's and something that we've never done, LP, until now. And hopefully they're not having any issue.
If it's Cullen or Welker, I'm going to have to go change my shorts.
Well, you know, while Jim goes and changes his shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do it here on camera.
Oh, please don't. That would scare people.
That would scare people. Yeah, you probably need the package of your
then we just call all back to the
stuff on our packages.
Once again, we'd have to go back to the microscope, the perceptor, and all those other jokes. Just pick one. It's okay.
Well, see, now we can just use Tesla since, you know, he's out as well. So no, you don't have, if you don't have perceptor, you can use Tesla.
I'd be okay with Tesla. Maybe we could use some Edison's medicine.
Okay, Duran, I'm getting a little what?
I'm
a little antsy.
I'm beginning to think that Google is playing a little problem here, and I kind of hope so. Hope not, but
I love the build up, but
yeah, and believe me, it is worth the build up.
So why don't we start? You guys opening your gifts?
Well, yeah, I mean, anything else you want to talk about your gifts?
I tell you what I'd like to see. In all honesty, I want to see that thing combined.
Oh, I'm working on it.
That I want to see. The use of the that was an optimal Optimus head, wasn't it?
It was.
The ultimate one? That looks phenomenal. I can't wait
to have that. Have to have a screwdriver to take the head apart to put the little adapter piece in.
Yeah. Right now I'm trying to get them all posed. I'm getting some pictures. I'm going to put them on the Facebook page to show.
That fire convoy looks like somebody posted a picture a while back about like modifying a hotspot to look like that. Yeah. And that looks really similar to that photo.
You're the one that sent me the link to that and said, hey, take a look at this.
He can pull the over-the-shoulder ladder.
I did it just to like...
Look at this, guys. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shoulder ladder.
I know I had posted some digibashes of those molds and those colors a while back in the TIFYLP public group.
Oh, this is so cool. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm over here. I'm transforming them gently.
I was really excited whenever you showed me preliminary pictures of these.
Yeah.
They are just fantastic.
He was putting work in progress pictures as I was going.
Well, the good news is if you do need a little bit of a touch-up, I'm sure he'll do that.
Yeah, you're coming up to BotCon. It's an hour away from my house. You can bring them up with you, and I could bring them home, touch them up.
Yep.
But seriously, Greg, you literally were reading my mind because I had the exact same conversation in the RFC pre-show about with next year being the RID anniversary.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to, I believe he's in here now.
I am.
I would like to introduce you to Mr. Richard Newman, the voice of Beast Wars Rhinox. Welcome to TFYLP.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Richard, I would like to say I'm a little starstruck. In all the time watching Beast Wars, I think Rhinox was always my favorite character.
Yes.
And I think a big part of that was your delivery. He felt like the father figure type, you know, to the other Maximals. And that just, for some reason, made that character really stand out to me as my favorite.
I think it's because I was so much older than the rest of the guys in the room. That may be why. I don't know.
Oh, my. This is great.
Hey, Don, you got something in common. Yeah.
Well, I mean, perhaps, but I believe our esteemed guest is a little more worthy of the praise as far as for all he's done through Beast Wars, because he got some of the best lines, like "I'm in a bad mood, understand?"
Yeah.
Just some great moments from Beast Wars.
And that, of course, as you so rightly point out, it was the writing, which was stellar for the Beast Wars, that whole series. And Sue Blue's direction was stellar. I mean, just so made things so much easier. And it was a great room full of guys and gals. A really nice bunch of actors, great folks to work with. So now the whole experience was just awfully pleasant.
How was it working with Scott McNeil?
Always, always a giggle. Scotty is one of my favorite people in the world. He's just so incredibly talented, and he's really kind of, in his way, kind of very self-effacing. He just kind of shows up, does the work, and does it so well. And he's a giggle. He's just great energy in the room. He's just one of the nicest guys in the world.
Oh.
The only thing is about Scott is that it's pretty well habit in Vancouver now that nobody wants to audition after Scott. Nobody wants to be scheduled to audition after Scott because you're going to be waiting for 2 hours while Scott is auditioning. And the first 45 minutes, he's just riffing. He's just getting folks warmed up, right? So, yeah, everybody wants to audition before Scott gets there.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to introduce you to Mr. Paul Eiding. Welcome back to TFYLP.
Hey, hey. How you guys doing?
Paul, doing very well.
Wow.
What?
This is awesome.
Pulling out all the stuff.
God, you're under here. Yes.
Oh.
So now we have Rhinox and Perceptor, G1 and Beast Wars on the same show.
Oh, Doron, this is absolutely just awesome because I unfortunately missed Mr. Newman's panel at TFCon. I had some friends in town only for one day. And they actually had to drive back. They drove from Tennessee down for about a couple hours and had to drive back. So our time was real limited. But this is just awesome. And Mr. Eiding, I've caught you at BotCon before, and it's just – I love the stories you tell about the G1 room, about the Chris Latta. Because everyone has a different Chris Latta story.
And, everybody has a Chris Latta story.
Yeah. And eventually, if I keep going to BotCons, I'll hear all the stories. It may take me another 20 BotCons, but I want to hear all of them.
We make them all up. None of them are true.
So, Mr. Newman, have you and Paul worked together before at all?
We haven't met, and it's wonderful to be meeting him now, even from this great distance.
Indeed. Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. All is well.
Excellent.
So, you know, with the Beast Wars cast and the Generation 1 cast, it's been well documented that you worked as groups. You got into one room to record episodes. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you two think that you would agree on that was the best aspect of working that way? Is there...
Well, it's so much like those of us who are old enough in the business remember the old radio play days where a bunch of actors would stand around in the studio and read and create a radio play. And that's what it's like doing these episodes with all the actors in the room because you get to work off other people. You're not in a room by yourself kind of trying to remember or imagine what somebody else might do with the line before yours or after yours. They're actually doing it with you. So it's just like acting, you know, like real acting.
Yeah, there's a spontaneity that happens that you can get. Obviously, you can get because that's the way the business is run now. But usually you have to do a lot more takes and use your imagination. How would they have said that line? I always prefer working with other actors in the room. I mean, it's just that's the joy of it. Plus, you end up laughing a lot more.
Absolutely.
You have a lot more fun, you know.
It's really neat that you mentioned the old radio plays and stuff, because just earlier this month I had a chance to go down to Franklin, Indiana, to see an old NBC radio style performance of "It's a Wonderful Life," and it was put on by Peter Spellos, and that was really really wild. It was really neat.
Yeah, that piece was created several years ago as a fundraiser, and a lot of theaters around North America are using it now as mm-hmm. kind of a Christmas fundraiser because it's easy yeah. to produce because, of course, you don't have to do all the production stuff, and it's a great play. It's a great yeah. story.
It was.
Yeah, I've had an opportunity to do several pieces for the L.A. Theater Works, mm-hmm. which basically that's what they do. They bring in actors, and they'll take I did On the 20th Century, and we did Adam's Rib, different
nice.
Old movies and whatnot, and then they write them for radio, and then they do the sound effects live.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started doing it years ago, they would actually do it the way they did it back in the 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, with the gravel box and whatnot, and somebody walking through the gravel, having the shoes. it was really magical, and it's great fun for the audience to watch as well. It's real theater,
Absolutely.
Let me ask both of y'all this, if I could. I know, Mr. Adding, you said, like a lot of the G1 actors, you had no idea what you were getting into at that time. And you had no idea it would become this phenomenon that it is now. And Mr. Newman, you were in a show that pretty much saved the franchise. A lot of people think Beast Wars, what G1 started, Beast Wars is what kept it going. If they do anything with the movies for you, Mr. Iding, or if in the expanded movie universe, if they do a Beast Wars. Do y'all hope to be part of that? Is that something y'all will have time for? Or
have time for? Well, I imagine we could find the time.
You're asking an actor if he wants to work.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, I didn't know if you...
In a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? I would love to. It breaks my heart every time I hear that they're doing one. Like they did a game. A G1 sort of game, and Perceptor showed up, and I was told that the fellow who was doing Perceptor was trying to do my voice, but I didn't even get a call to audition for it, and that breaks your heart. It's like, wait a minute, guys, I'm still alive.
Or God save somebody to impersonate you, and they could just get you.
It's like the Highlander. Yeah. There can be only one Perceptor.
Yeah.
And there can be only one Rhinox.
Well, it's just when we get more information about those projects, if we as the fandom can push to get you in those roles, would that be something y'all be okay with?
You guys
have
more power.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, you have more power than any of the actors do. I did a video game that they were going to the second time we did the game. We did the first one in late 90s. And they're going to do a second one, and they were going to recast everybody because they thought it could be cheaper. But the fans got together and said, no, we know these voices. These are the voices we want. And as a result, the game is still going. They've just done their fifth version of the game. Or fifth incarnation, and it's because of the fans, not because of the actors. It's because the fans said, "No, this is what we want," So you guys have a lot of power.
Well, that's the reason why Peter Cullen got to be Optimus Prime in the live-action movies, because the fans got together and said, "Hey, no, we want Peter Cullen."
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to give everybody that's on the show right now a chance to ask one question to both Paul and Richard. If you would, I give you each a chance, and then we'll unfortunately, our third person, I guess he's having issues or something and everything and can't join in. It was Mr. Gary Chalk. He's
probably making a movie.
Probably making a movie, yeah. doing one of those Stargate things or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
got a last-minute call to run some police station somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. but we love Gary. I mean, he was our first guest and everything. So, it's...
I've never liked Gary. I told you what I did to Gary, didn't I?
No.
At TFCon. in Toronto. I had never met Gary, he was having a panel, and I went into his panel, and I sat in the back of the room, and I was egged on by the fans. They said, "Oh, you had to ask Gary a question." So I got up, I got the microphone, I got in line, and he couldn't really see me. And he wouldn't have really known me. I don't know if we'd even met yet. And I got on and I said, I don't know what the question was, but it was some inane, silly thing that I made up. You know, if Optimus Prime met whoever, some other character, and you had to go fishing together and you found concrete. I don't know what it was, but it would make no sense whatsoever. And God bless him, he tried to answer it. He thought I was asking a serious question, and the man hung in there and tried. And of course, we let him know that it was a gag. But he didn't hit me, didn't hurt me later. You know, we still had a good time together. He's a good man.
Let's see here. I think we lost Richard here for. There we go.
He comes back on.
We got me back.
Yes.
But I missed the end of the story about.
Oh, Gary. It was probably the best story I've ever told in my life.
I'm sorry. Telling you, I missed it. We were all in stitches laughing. It was so. I mean,
any rib on
that much.
Any rib on Gary Chalk has got to be, you know.
Well, I, so I of course, fun. Because Gary and I both live in Vancouver, I've known him since he was thin and I had hair. So, yeah, we've known each other an awfully long time, and he's just the greatest guy. He's been married for the last couple of years to a great gal, and he's just as happy as I've ever known him.
He's a good man.
Well,
absolutely true.
Yes. Gary's my favorite Russian gorilla.
I'm All sorry right, to guys. Go off on a tangent like that.
Let's see here. We'll start with Don, since you're farthest left on my screen. One question for each guest, and then we'll move on to Jim.
I've already had a lot of time with them. I'm going to pass and give some time to someone else.
Okay. All right, Jim.
Fair enough. Okay, Mr. Newman.
Yes.
In your opinion, which character did you enjoy portraying more, Rhinox in Beast Wars or Vector Prime in Transformers Cybertron?
Well, for the simple reason that in Beast Wars, I got to be in a room full of actors, and in Cybertron, I was in a room all by myself. Beast Wars was more fun. I really enjoyed the character of Vector Prime. He was fun to play, but it was way more fun to be in the room with all the actors, for sure.
And on that Rhinox point, how did the recording session for the farting episode go? What was it like in the room?
Well, the fact is that was all done. The sound effects, of course, were all done in post, so we just left room for them. But yes, it was probably my very favorite episode because, yeah, we were all pretty corpsed by that. I think we lost weight laughing so hard during that episode.
So silent but deadly.
Silent but deadly indeed.
Nice.
So you're not a method actor then?
No, well, not to that degree. No.
I would have to imagine Scott was something during that episode. Probably we're all too young to probably hear that story.
I do recall Gary Chalk telling us a story that he used to gas the room and someone would have to spray something. During the episode.
It's quite true, and he was very proud of himself for some reason. I never quite understood that. You know, usually people hide from that kind of thing, but no, he'd claim it right away.
What you're saying is he was loud and proud.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. Yeah.
See, that's what he gets for not being here.
That's it. He can deny all he wants after.
So, Jim, you have one more question?
Yes, and excuse me. Mr. Iding,
yes, sir.
I wanted to follow up with you regarding a question that I posed to you last time you were a guest on our show. Is there anything that you had ever wanted to ask of the fans? Anything you ever wanted to know?
Of the fans? Yes. Wow. Wow. Well, that's right. That's such a darn good question. It's like, but it, I would have asked, you know, why do you like the show so much, or why has this talked to you? Why, you know, but everyone has a different reason. You know, after doing conventions and getting a chance to really hang out and talk with folks, everybody has a different reason. Whether it be personal with the, you know, family sort of thing, something hit them. Yeah, how about you guys? Why? Why did this show do it for you? Why are you still Transformers fans? So, and I'm asking you.
It reminds me of a happier time. I've told this story many, many times. I was a very sick little boy, and I wasn't able to run and play with the other kids.
Yeah.
And watching the television show, playing with the toys, gave my mind and heart something to latch onto that was positive. Yeah. And in today's world, you know, we have real life jobs, some of them very difficult and very stressful. And I come back to Transformers because it reminds me of a time when I didn't worry about anything, and I had something positive to look back on. And I was actually an adult by the time Beast Wars aired. But I saw the show later and grew to have an enormous appreciation for it as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say the episodes that kind of harken back where I think it was The Agenda and a couple other episodes that where they come across the Autobots on the Ark and the Decepticons, and a tear come to my eye, you know, seeing the characters that I grew up with interact with characters now. And it just, and the fact that Ravage, an upgraded Ravage, right before his death, holds his fist up high and says Decepticon forever. And the nerd in me and the little boy in me just squeed with joy. And what's not to love about Transformers?
I mean,
great characters, giant robots from outer space.
Hey, yeah, how can you lose?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably a similar story we'll all share. Yeah. I mean, it's just as a kid, you know, I mean, we could all give our sob stories. I mean, obviously I wasn't as sick as Duran, almost died, but, you know, I had my own struggles as a kid, and I think a lot of us probably did. Mm-hmm. And Transformers was at 1:30 minutes every day when I got home, where I had just some pure joy and enjoyment. You know, I could get lost in that story. I don't know why it stuck more than other shows. I guess just the concept of robots that could turn into cars and trucks really appealed to me for some reason. And just that escape from worry and stress and school and bullies and whatever else is going on, that makes a mark in our heart. So now even as adults, we have different stresses, different things going on, so it's still an escape. I've got the light off, so you can't really see because it's kind of a mess. I'm still in the process of sorting it all. But I've got a whole room here. My man cave, is the walls are lined with Transformers. You know, I can come in here and play with. I don't do like I did as a kid. I don't get the floor and vroom, vroom. But I can go to my shelf and get out any G1 Transformer I want, transform it, convert it back and forth, and it just takes me back to that 30 minutes of carefree, you know, 7-year-old me that either had that toy or wanted that toy and never got it. And it's just, it's an escape from the stresses of life.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
For me, you know, again, I am the oldest one in the group here. I'll be 46 next year.
He's old by a lot.
for me, it's not just nostalgia, but when cartoons could still be fun without being over-sanitized and safe. It's like, I grew up on Looney Tunes. I know if I walk off a cliff, I want to die. And watching Transformers, I know war is bad. War does not – but you can still watch the car. You can watch – you know, you can watch Beast Wars. You can watch G1. And it was fun for the sake of being fun. Yes, they were toy commercials. We all realize that now. But it was still fun. And nowadays everything is so sanitized. I mean, there was a show on Fox, the Spider-Man show in the mid-90s, and they've even added it to the point where they took out punches and kicks, where you can't show someone punching and kicking. It's Spider-Man against a guy in a rhino suit, and you can't show him punching him. I just miss the days when cartoons could be cartoons because they were fun. And that's why this has stuck with me, is I can remember cartoons that era when it was you could just watch them and enjoy yourself.
All right. Let's see here. Hopefully Mr. Iding can rejoin us here shortly. But Brett, did you have a question for Mr. Newman?
Yeah, actually, I saw that Paul is having technical difficulties, and I thought this would be a good time because I've already asked him this question when we did an interview before. I'd already asked him this question. So I'm going to ask you. I'll start off by asking as far as conventions. Have you been to a convention? How many conventions you've been? This is just a precursor to my actual question.
Okay. I actually was to a BotCon about 10 years ago at the 10th anniversary of Beast Wars. And then I didn't wind up going to another one until just this past spring. I went to TFCon in Mississauga and was just in Charlotte at TFCon Charlotte. So I've done two in the past 4 months, I guess, and I've had a really good time doing them. So
So they're fresh in your mind?
Yes.
All right. So my question to you is, after going to these conventions and seeing the fans, that's okay. Seeing the fans and smelling the fans and the offensive odors that you have smelled from the fans, one of the things that we like to do is before the conventions, we like to give a little piece of advice and tell people that before they go to a convention, maybe to make sure they wash themselves and take care of themselves. So what I would like is I'd like for you in Rhinox's voice to give out a message to the fans to ask them to please keep better care of themselves in regards to others.
All right. all right, ladies and gentlemen, just one small favor. If you're coming to a convention, just make sure you keep yourself sanitized. Nothing offends a maximal more than an unclean animus.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Now my goal is to try and get every cast member from the show to say it, and then we're going to put it all together. So I got two people now. I just need more. Every single voice actor we can get to, just because it is so important.
It's very important, although I cannot remember an instance in any of the conventions that I've been to where I felt any need to get away from a fan sooner than was necessary.
Oh, man, boy, have I. Just staying in line sometimes, it's like you want to give up your spot, trust me. I'm telling you.
I've had very good luck, I guess.
Well, good.
You know, I don't care about the message. That made my day. Because I'm one of the youngest fans here on this show. I grew up with Beast Wars. I woke up every morning at 6:30 before school to watch the new episode of Beast Wars. And Rhinox has always been one of my favorites. And just hearing you, hearing Rhinox, that was just made my day. That was amazing.
Yeah, he grew up on Beast Wars. I was in my mid-20s.
Well, I always find it quite funny, and whenever I've gone to a convention, and all three of the conventions I've been to have been basically about Transformers, and I was definitely the shortest, slimmest, slightest male in the room. And yet, I'm the guy with this voice. And I don't know where it comes from. I'm sure it's genetics or maybe half a century of smoking cigarettes. I'm not really sure. But it always surprises folks. Yeah. It surprises folks when they see what I actually look like and that's the voice of Rhinox. I think they had a bigger human being in mind.
So you have the opposite effect that Mike Tyson does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I got it.
I frighten absolutely nobody. Not me.
Plus, Rhinox got the twin chain guns of Doom.
Gosh, I mean, does he need his size? I mean, he needs his size to handle those bloody machine guns.
Absolutely.
Greg, you had another question?
Yeah, I have a question because I wasn't on the last time Paul was here either, so I'll ask this question of both of you. What is your most embarrassing role? Whether it be like the diarrhea dad in the Pepto-Bismol commercial or just a thing you did for one episode. What's the most embarrassing role you've had to do where the lines, you just felt so ashamed having to read the lines?
Okay. There is a movie franchise. Oh, am I going to do this? Because now it's going to show up on Facebook and I'm going to be so humiliated.
Just remember when it's on Facebook, it's out there.
I know. Somebody will find it sooner or later to just embarrass me. There is a movie franchise called The Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And in Neverending Story 3, which you may never have seen.
It's the worst one of the three.
I have it.
VHS. It was filmed in Vancouver. There's a scene, and I guess it's around Halloween. There's a scene where all the monsters are running through a department store. Mm-hmm. And there is a photographer dressed as Dracula taking pictures of children in a very surly mood. It is without doubt the most embarrassing moment that I have ever had. It was just an awful day. Just one of the most awful days.
Were you the Dracula taking the picture?
I was the Dracula taking the pictures, yes. And I had a mustache, and they didn't say anything about shaving the mustache. And there was only a one-day role, and I thought, for one day, I don't want to shave my mustache. But how can you have a Dracula with a mustache?
Oh, man.
So it definitely wasn't Fangs for the Memories.
No. It was a day in which I was really pleased to be released and let go home. It was quite funny because the star of the movie, a very, very wonderful English actor named Freddie Jones, who I had seen on stage in London when I was in London, I saw him on the day he was going into a makeup truck as I was going out of a makeup truck. And I so much wanted to approach him and say, "Ooh, I saw you in the dresser and you were so wonderful." But the look on his face made me think he doesn't want to be talked to. And after spending a day on that set, I sort of knew. So, yes, thanks for the memories. All right.
Okay. This is not an embarrassing moment, but I just did a web series with Freddie here in Los Angeles called Empty Space. You should check it out. It's on Freddie is basically the lead, or one of the leads in it. It's about actors getting together to put on a production of Romeo and Juliet. Freddie is brilliantly funny. He plays an obnoxious director. Anyway, great guy. But my embarrassing... I've done several. one, a commercial where all I had to do was sneeze through the entire commercial. But I think the worst was doing a movie with Anna Nicole Smith. Right after she had, after the love of her life had passed away, the 102-year-old man. I don't mean to make light of it, but he was, you know, he was very old. And it was a movie called, Skyscraper. It's one that you'll see on Stars at 3 o'clock in the morning, one of those. I was basically, it was one of those idiotic scripts where I'm on an elevator. Anna Nicole Smith is playing a Bruce Willis type of character who flies a helicopter, and she's going to, this skyscraper has been taken over by terrorists, and I have no idea. I'm on an elevator. I go to get off I'm waiting for the elevator. The elevator doors open, and Anna Nicole Smith stands there, and she's got this jumpsuit with zippers all over it. And I'm standing there, and she reaches out and grabs me and pulls me inside. So, of course, Anna Nicole Smith, okay, gorgeous, large, buxom woman. The first thing that came into my mind, of course, as my character's mind was, hey, she wants me. What?
So you can actually say that Anna Nicole Smith wanted you at one time.
Yeah, Anna Nicole Smith wanted me. pulls me in the there's this whole scene, and then I end up getting killed. That was a cool thing. I got to wear, you know, the squibs and everything, blood packs flying everywhere and shooting up the back of my head. That was the saving grace of my work on that movie. It was really embarrassing. And now, of course, like you said, it's out there now. But you know, I've had.
I'm actually going to find this movie and watch it now.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Anna Nicole Smith version of Die Hard. It's like Die Hard with large
breasts.
That's exactly
what it was.
They were trying to make her.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Except you didn't want to see Bruce Willis in a shower the way you get to see Anna Nicole Smith in a shower.
Well, I was actually watching a movie. It was about a serial killer. I believe it was a serial killer, and I can't remember what the name of it was to save my life. But I started watching it simply because the late Don S. Davis. He was in it, and I'm a big fan of Stargate, and I'm like, hey, this movie's going to be good. And he, in this movie, frequented ladies of the night. And I'm like, this is not a role that I want to watch him
in. This is not Joanna.
Yeah.
Don had a really interesting career. He started out as a stunt double. Mm-hmm. And when I did an episode of MacGyver many, many, many years ago, and Don was doubling for
Danny Clare.
Yes, exactly. And then went on to getting roles in Twin Peaks and various other series, and built himself a hell of a career. And he was the sweetest guy. He was really one of the nice guys.
I watched all 7 seasons of MacGyver.
Yes.
All he needed was a ballpoint pen.
And a paper clip and some duct tape.
That's it. So Michael, your questions.
Oh, man. I don't know what I have to ask. I was going to ask Richard to do his Rhinox voice, but then he did his Rhinox voice, and I was like, well, that's quite all right.
There you are.
So I guess there was one episode in Beast Wars where you got to take Rhinox from being, you know, good guy Rhinox to being a Predacon, and I was just always kind of wondered, you know, how that went. Did they just let you have fun with it? I mean, what was it like to take your character and make him a bad guy?
Well, that was such an interesting thing, because of course I was not. In the beginning of season 3, I guess it was, Rhinox had disappeared. There was this character called Tankor, who was played by Paul Dobson. They auditioned me for it, but they just decided that it was going to be too easy for people to tell that that's actually Rhinox, and they wanted to keep that a secret for a while. So the only time that actually ever happened was the day that I was in studio with Paul, standing next to each other, and kind of, you know, each of us kind of doing half lines until my character took over his. And then for an episode or two, I got to be really wonderfully malevolent, thinking that I was going to be the king boss of everybody. And then Megatron took me down a peg or two, and I got to go out as a good guy again. So it was a really neat story arc. It was quite fun to play. As always, that all 3 seasons, I thought the writing and the story arcs were just so very interesting. And watching the character development, people really seemed to pay attention to the Bible, the story Bible, that is, and the characters maintained a consistency and grew in a way that people were able to relate to. But I did want to mention a thing, which one of the things, when you say, why are people into this show? Why am I into the show? My younger brother, at the age of 3, was part of the 1950s polio epidemic. So he hasn't run since he was 3 years old. And he dreams at the age of 67 still that he's running. So when I showed up at my first Transformers convention and saw the number of people there in wheelchairs, the number of people there who obviously have physical challenges of one kind or another, it just kind of went, oh my gosh, this is what we're involved in doing. This is the gift we have been allowed to be a part of giving. And it was a very humbling realization. And made me respect all the lot more of the writing and the effort that's gone into making this show, this series of shows, what they have become. So really quite proud to have been a part of it.
Absolutely. You know, that's I think one of the things that I always try to make sure when we do the panels and whatnot, where people stand in line to meet you, and I've said it on this show before, it's really important for me to know, let the fans know that we truly do appreciate them as much as they appreciate the show.
Absolutely.
We are the blessed ones. We are the really lucky ones. Because, you know, I've heard similar stories. And when you first go in, and it's made me realize that we're not just doing a... We have a tendency to poo-poo what we do, actors do. Yeah, well, we're not curing cancer, or we're not doing this. We're not sending astronauts to the moon, but we're performing a service. It's not just selling toys. If you want to be a cynic, sure, you're doing that sort of thing. I choose not to live my life that way. Everything means something, and I want it to mean something. You know? Okay.
We're very lucky. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I just don't want to be too corny, but that's it. It's the truth.
But we are. We're very lucky. We get to do something for a living that we absolutely adore doing. And without you guys, there ain't no audience. There just ain't no show, as that wonderful Vancouver band Chilliwack sang some 45 years ago. So, no, it's been really having a good time this last little while since I finally acceded to my daughter's demands and got on social networking, learning up just how much love there is out there for these series and what it means to people. It's quite thrilling.
Absolutely. Michael, did you have one more question, and then I think Brett, maybe.
No, I already went.
Oh, okay.
Not really. I'm sorry.
I cannot,
Paul,
believe, as big a Beast Wars fan as you are, and you can't think of one question.
Get a voicemail message or something. And run off.
I asked him a question. I got the Tankor answer.
Oh. Well, I mean, I do want to say that, you know, we've had Paul on here as a guest, solo guest before. And I hope that Mr. Newman, you'd be a guest again sometime very soon.
That would be a guest.
And we can ask more questions then. But I'm going to wrap up the episode and ask you guys a couple things. If you could wish the fans in Perceptor and Rhinox's voice a happy holidays, Merry Christmas from Rhinox and Perceptor and TFYLP. And then after we wrap, Mr. Newman, you, Michael, and Brett, I'd like to talk with about setting up maybe a time down the road.
Okay, so who do you want to do Ryan Knox, and who do you want to do Perceptor?
I think I could do Perceptor maybe, but I don't think I could do the Ryan Knox. I don't have that. So I was going to give it.
I'd like to hear him flip the roles. I'd like to hear. Lightning do Rhinox, for example, and Mr. Newman do Perceptor. I think that'd be funny.
Rhinox, Mr. Newman. Right.
Well, Rhinox basically lives down here. I don't know how, but that's where he ended up.
Well, Rhinox lives basically down here. I don't know how, but... Merry
that's
Christmas.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That was awesome.
I'm an actor.
Uh-oh. I don't know if you could do that.
Wow.
Okay. No. Okay. Perceptor.
Yeah.
Cursory evaluation of the holiday season indicates it's time to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas.
Well, I don't know if I can do exactly that voice, but I can do something fairly similar. But not anywhere near as good, that's certain.
No, not quite. Wow.
It's better than I could have done. Good job, guys. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I'm not even going to try. I bow out. I totally bow out. No, couldn't do it. No, my deep voice isn't as deep as yours, and my high voice certainly isn't as high as yours. So I'm done.
I fear it's Christmas time. Yes.
Well, that's my understanding, and I sure want to wish all the fans out there a very happy holidays.
Very good.
And guys. Likewise, and just from Paul.
And from Richard.
Happy holidays, yeah. Guys.
Enjoy.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank everybody who has tuned in for this special episode of TFYLP. This was our last live episode of 2015. We will return after the first of the year.
Wait, that was live? You're not going to clean it up? No, I'm kidding.
Not going to change it. It's like WWE Monday Night Raw.
It's out there.
It's out there.
No fixing it in post.
Everybody knows about Skyscraper.
Likewise, my friend. Take care.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
January 8th, 2 weeks.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.